Hey, good morning, church. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 7 through 21. The title of this message is The Love of God. Let's read 1 John 4, verse 7 through 21. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you preserved it for us, God, to look at, to study, and that you want to use it to transform our hearts. We confess, Lord, that as we look at all that John is saying about love, we must confess, God, that we fall woefully short of showing love to each other. Oftentimes we get frustrated, we get impatient. We confess, Lord, that we need your love. We need you to instruct us and to change our hearts this morning. We pray that you would have your way in us. Be exalted in our time. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've been with us through our series in 1 John, you probably have recognized that this topic of love, this idea or theme of love, has come up multiple times. John has been stressing the need and the importance of love, and he does that a lot of times through repetition. We've talked about this over and over again, right? The idea, love each other. Why? Because God is love. Love comes from God. If we are God's people, we should show the love of God to each other. It almost sounds like he keeps beating this drum, and we're like, man, why does John keep talking about this? Why doesn't he move on to something else? He keeps revisiting this idea of love. I want to remind you of a story that's passed on to us from the early church father, Jerome. And he tells us about the ministry of John in his later life. He says that when John was about 100 years old, he would be taken from church to church to minister to the churches in Asia Minor. You can imagine that many people would come. They would want to see and hear from this man who walked with Jesus. Imagine the excitement of being able to see the Apostle John face to face. You're going to see someone and hear from someone who walked with Jesus himself. What kind of message would you expect to hear from a person like that? It's interesting. We're told that John would come up at the end of the service and he would share an exhortation, right? People would want him to share something. And in his old age, he would probably need help to get there. He would stand up, he would look at the congregation, and utter one simple sentence. little children, love one another. And that was it. That's all he would say. He was so transformed by this love that he kept it very simple. He just said, love each other. Love one another. And we see that echoed throughout this letter. But he was a very simple man. He's like, this is the main thing. If you get this, you have it all covered. People would ask him, they would say, hey, Master, why do you always say this? Because, he replied, it is the Lord's command, and if this only is done, it is enough. John saw the importance, and he realized that everything boiled down to love. Love of God and love of others. Jesus echoed this, right? Jesus said this. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All of the commandments boil down to this command. So as we're looking at this scripture, at this passage, I want us to come with hearts that are willing and ready to hear this. Even if you've heard it 1,000 times, the reason why scripture brings things up multiple times is because it knows we need to hear it again. We need to allow this to go from our heads to our hearts. Because I don't know about you, this is an ongoing battle for us to choose the path of love. Think about your week this week. Did you ever get frustrated that things weren't going your way? Did you ever get upset with someone because of the decisions that they made or something they said? I think we would all have to say, yes, we are not this shining example of loving people. We want to get there, but we're not there. And Scripture knows that. And the Bible wants to help us to be people who understand how loved we are by God, but who also give that love out to other people as well. In verses 7 through 8, John is going to speak about the origin of God's love. The origin of love. He says that it's rooted in who God is. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And so this call for us to love each other is rooted in the very nature of God. Love is from God, he says. And he goes on to say, whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Love gives evidence that a person is born of God and that they truly have this relationship with God, right? Anyone can say that they know God, but believers show by the way that they love that they know God in truth. Verse 8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's very clear, right? John is very black and white. If you don't know God, if you don't love, you don't know God. This love that he's talking about isn't just this kind of love that's like, hey, you have for maybe your wife or for food or for certain people who you like. It's agape love. It's a love that comes from God. It's sourced in God. It flows from God. It flows from the Spirit of God. This isn't a natural type of love. This is a supernatural type of love. This isn't just an emotion or feeling. It's rooted in action. It's rooted in sacrifice. It's not flimsy. It's not like here one day and gone the next. This love has deep roots in the nature and character of God. In verses 9 through 10, we'll see the manifestation of God's love. Okay? We know that love is rooted in the nature and character of God, but notice how God manifests his love among us, to us. Verse 9, in this the love of God was made manifest among us. How? That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. So God doesn't just tell us that he's love, right? In his essence, his nature. He shows us that he's love. How does he do this? By sending his Son to save us from our sin. Right? As we gear up for Christmas, this is a truth that we celebrate. That the Father sent his Son into the world to be born of a virgin. He could have come into our world any number of ways, but he chose to come that way, humbly, in meekness, to enter our broken world, to leave his throne on high, to save those who could not save themselves. This is something that we want to remember in this season. As crazy as this year has been, we have the ultimate hope in Christ because Jesus came for us. And because of what Jesus did, that changes everything. That changes our outlook for the new year. It changes how we view the season we're in right now. Jesus came for us. That changes everything. That means that our eternity is changed forever because of what Jesus has done for us. As bad as things get on this earth, these are the worst days for the people of God. What's waiting for us? Fullness of joy, eternal life with God forever. All provided because Jesus manifested his love to us in giving himself to us. In verses 11 through 12, we see the implications of God's love. Verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." There are implications to God loving us. And this is where John goes next. He says, hey, if this is true, if God manifested his love to us, if he is loved by his very nature, then we as his people also ought to love one another. When we understand how much we've been loved by God, this isn't just meant to be something that we believe in our heads. It's really meant to impact our hearts. It's meant to have a direct impact on how we treat each other. Think about that person in the church who just drives you crazy. Maybe it's not in our church because everyone's perfect. Just kidding. Maybe it's people in other churches, or maybe it's people in your family who you have a difficult time loving. You don't see eye to eye on certain issues. You don't see eye to eye on politics. You don't see eye to eye on pretty much anything. This is really where God challenges us in this passage, right? Hey, if this is true, we also ought to love one another. It's like we owe each other this love. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 13, verse 8. He says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." This is almost like we owe it to each other to love each other. If this is who God is, if this is what God's done, we owe it to each other to love one another. The one who loves has fulfilled the law. We can't do this in our own strength. We need the grace of God. We need help from God. We need to say, God, like, I can't do this in and of myself. This person is driving me crazy, or that person is really getting under my skin. I don't want to love them. We need to start with asking God, please change my heart. Help me to humble myself. Help me to realize how much I've been forgiven. Remember what Jesus said at a certain place in the Gospels. He said, the one who's been forgiven much is the one who loves much. Why do we find it difficult to love other people? Because we forget how much we've been forgiven. We look at them and we see their sin and their shortcomings, and we magnify those things and we minimize our own sins and failures and shortcomings. And what Jesus is saying is, you must look at your own life. You must look at how much God has forgiven you in Christ if you're to extend that love to other people. John goes on in verses 13 to 15. He speaks about bearing witness to God's love. He says in verse 13, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God." We bear witness to the love of God. John says this, right? The Spirit bears witness in us. God has given us his Holy Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. We know that we abide in him and he abides in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And then he says in verse 14, we've seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. We bear witness to this. This is something that happened, but we have this confession, he says in verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he of God. And so as we bear witness to the love that God has for us and what he's done for us, this has an impact in our world. We are called to confess Christ before men and women. We are called to bear witness to the love that God has for us, to how God has worked in our lives. John says, hey, we saw him. We walked with him. We confess him. In verse 16, he speaks about experiencing God's love. He says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. These things that we're telling you, John's saying, we've actually come to know and to believe. We've come to experience this love that God has for us. This is not just some concept that we're talking about. This is something that's had a direct impact on our lives. We have this assurance of God's love. In verses 17 through 18, he talks about perfect love. He says, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. He speaks about the judgment. How does God's love affect our confidence in the day of judgment? It says there's a direct link. What are your thoughts on the judgment? When you stand before God, or when you think about that day, what is it that gets stirred up in your heart? Is it fear? Is it confidence? Are you being moved by the love of God? He says in verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Now, the Bible is clear that we are to have fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible is clear on that, that we are to have a healthy, reverential fear toward God. He is God and we are not. But what it's talking about here is fear in regards to judgment. For the believer in Jesus Christ, what we believe is that at the cross, Jesus absorbed the penalty that we deserve. He absorbed that in himself. He paid the punishment for our sin in full. That's why he cried out on the cross, "It's finished." There's no other sacrifice needed. There's nothing that you have to do. You just have to believe. John has been talking about this. You need to believe in Jesus and the work that he accomplished for you. Because of that, because of the love that God has shown us, we can have assurance in the day of judgment. We don't have to fear hell because Jesus took that for us. Jesus gave us his perfect righteousness at the cross. The great exchange. He absorbs the wrath that we deserve and he gives us right standing with God. And so that's why John says, hey, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. I pray that if we are experiencing this, if we've been paralyzed by fear, that we would allow the truth of the love of God that would just wash over us. That we would just sit there and receive that and understand how loved we are by God. That it's not tied to our performance. It's not tied to how many times we failed this week. It's tied to Christ and his work on our behalf. And when we receive that, we're able to walk in freedom, free from fear, free from punishment of what's going to happen when I stand before God. In verse 19, we see the reason we love. We love, why? Because he first loved us. This is why we love, because Jesus first loved us. We don't love God so that he would accept us. We love God because he has accepted us. We love God because he has loved us. Our love is merely, and it's always a response to the love of God for us and to us. This helps to change the way that we view our Christian lives. When you went throughout the week and you didn't read your Bible and you didn't pray and you got impatient and you struggled, what is it that you tell yourself? What is the message that you preach to yourself in that moment? Is it, I just need to do more? Or is it, God, thank you that this is why you came, that you accomplished for me what I cannot do for myself, that you love me even in this place, that your love for me is not tied to my performance or how much I don't sin or how much I'm nailing it. Your love is wrapped up in your Son. And you love me not based upon anything I can do, but upon who you are. This is why we love, because he first loved us. In verse 20 through 21, John speaks about the true test of love, right? It's all getting to this point, like everything that he's saying, this is really where push comes to shove. This is really where it gets practical, this test of love. He says in verse 20, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Again, John has been speaking about this throughout his letter. But again, he ends his argument here by giving us this test. Hey, if you say that you love God and you hate your brother, you're a liar. These are challenging words for us, if we're honest. Many times we're content to merely put up with people. Many times we don't really love people, but we will ignore them, or it doesn't mean we don't have to, it means like, I don't have to hang out with them, I don't have to talk to them, I don't have to like them. But the nature of God's love, man, God's love is so radical, it's so transformative, that when we truly experience it, it will change the way that we treat each other. We will have more grace. We will have forgiveness for each other. We will talk to each other when we wrong each other. This is what love produces in us. He says, if you can't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God who you haven't seen? The truth of the matter is this, and this might be comforting to you, this might be a shock to you, but we're going to be with each other for all of eternity. That's just the truth of the matter. I don't know if you think about that a lot, but that kind of hit me as I was studying this. Man, like, for those who are in Christ, we will be together forever. And it's time now, as a people of God, to get along, to love each other, to realize how much God has loved us. And I've been so blessed by so many of you. I see this love in our midst. I see us stirring each other up to love and good works. It doesn't mean we're going to have our bad days or we're going to have our tough moments. But in the end, for the church of Christ, love is to prevail. We never want to swallow the pill of bitterness. We never want to be holding on to a grudge. We always want to fight for unity. We always want to fight for love. And this is what John is saying. Hey, this is a serious matter. He says in verse 21, this commandment we have from him. This isn't just John giving us this. This is actually from Jesus himself. He's given us this commandment that we should love each other. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is not an option for the Christian, he's saying. This isn't just a call. This is an obligation we have as God's people to show love to one another. This is only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you've tried to love people, you know that our efforts fall way short. We need help. And the good news is that God has promised to help us. He sent us the helper, the comforter, the spirit of love to enable us to love each other, to give us a supernatural love, right? When our love runs out, God's love is just beginning. He's like, hey, I don't want you to try to do it in your own strength. I want to empower you with love, with the Holy Spirit, to love your brothers and sisters, even the most difficult ones. And so I pray, if there's someone on your mind right now that you're like, man, you know what? I'm holding a grudge against that person. I haven't been forgiving them. I'm kind of punishing them in my heart. You might say, well, at least they don't know it. Or, you know, I'm fine because I haven't said anything to them. God cares about the heart, right? Russ talked about this the other week. God looks at the heart. We can't be satisfied with saying, okay, well, I'm not saying anything. I'm not lashing out, so that's good enough. I'll put up with them, or I'll just ignore them. No, God's saying the better way is love. Don't rely on your own strength. Allow the Holy Spirit to empower you. Allow God to remind you of how much He's forgiven you so that you might extend that love to others. I pray that God would help us in these things. He would give us grace this week. He would wash over us, that we would know how loved we are by Him, that nothing can separate us from His love. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word to us, God. And we know it's challenging, God, for us, just even looking at our week in this season hasn't brought out the best in some of us. And it's difficult, Lord. It's hard for us to love people and each other, and we struggle with this, God. We need Your grace. We need Your help. Remind us of Your great love for us. Remind us of how vast it is. It's not based upon our performance. Set us free, God. I pray that Your love would wash over us, that You'd remind us of how much You've forgiven us, how much You've cleansed us from, and that You would empower us to walk in these things this week. We need You. We pray You'd help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.